Good morning. Eric and I are so excited to be here. As Ray said earlier, it's exciting to finally be on your turf. And as we have seen First Baptist come a number of times just since we've been there, since 2008. And so it's exciting to also be here because Ray is a big part of the journey of our calling to Belize. And so Eric and I, we used to live in Greenville, North Carolina. He was a general contractor and a home inspector. And I was a nurse, and we were new parents. And we were just trying to find our way living as a couple, as parents. But we felt restless in our work. And so God called us and called us to do something risky, life-changing. And so we just followed his call. And so God put some unique things in our path to make it very clear that we were to go. And of course, God used Ray as one of those instruments to being instrumental in our direction to Belize. Of course, he's one of the directors at the camp. And so at the time, CBF was connecting with us as we were with them. And so thankfully through Linda Jones, she knew of Ray and just said, you've got to speak with him and you've got to speak with some of the others from North Carolina that had been coming to Belize for years. And so since 2008, we have left and been there and have been serving at the Baptist Training Center. And it has just been an amazing journey. We left with a 10-month-old who wasn't walking yet and a 5-year-old that was entering kindergarten. And so these 7 years have been an amazing journey, and we have even acquired another child since then, thanks to a children's home in Belize at Marla's House of Hope, and his name is Zach. And so he is currently 6 and a half, and so our one child that couldn't walk when we moved is now 7, almost 8, and Sierra is 12. And so we have loved being in Belize. It really feels more like home now than even coming back to North Carolina. Coming to North Carolina is like coming on vacation, and then when we go back, it's going home. And so the camp has been a wonderful place for Eric and I to serve and to grow, and as we've always said, God has done more in us than he's done through us. It has been a season of purging and refinement, and God has just really revealed himself amazingly through working there and just being God's servant there in that nation. For those of you all that are familiar with the camp, it is still standing, it is still running, it is still doing very well. And for those of you that know the groundskeeper, Eman, he is still there and could run it easily without us, which he is. And so it's continuing to have continuous mission teams that come throughout the year. It continues to have local churches come and use it for VBS and pastor summits and retreats. And so we stay almost steady throughout the year. And so we're thankful to just be many of the directors in the lineup to be there. And so while we stay busy there at the camp, it's kind of gotten to be a well-greased machine. And so the Lord has allowed us to branch out into some other areas of ministry and need. And so again, I mentioned Marla's House of Hope. So Eric is a board member there and serving the children there that have been abused. And many of them come in that have been sexually abused. And so, of course, we also help with the leadership at our local church, which is a non-denominational church, an international church. It is very diverse, just as Vinny mentioned. I mean, we've got people that are speaking Creole and Mayan, and we've got Cubans there. We have Americans. We've got all kinds of nationalities, so which is a wonderful thing. But we also are heavily involved in another organization called the Child Development Foundation, which stands for CDF. And they are an organization that is involved in raising awareness for human trafficking. Human trafficking is something that's more and more on everybody's radar, which I'm thankful for. And it's not just a Belizean issue. It's a North Carolina issue. It's a worldly issue. It's a Thailand issue. It's prevalent all over. And so Belize is trying to do its part in its own nation by fighting this social injustice, by going out and doing outreaches of raising awareness to just educate the population, to let them know that it is happening and it's happening prevalently, especially because of the tourism industry. But one area of this organization that Eric and I feel heavily led and involved in is the project of a rescue home for these young people that are being exploited. And it's called the Gomer House. And so this rescue home is actually just adjacent to the camp. So it's also 10 acres, just like the camp is. And so it's in the slow progression of getting a groundskeeper's home up and getting its chapel up. And now we're trying to get significant funding just for the actual home to be built. So we are heavily involved in that, and I'm having teams and so forth coming down and help and support financially as well with prayer. And so that's an area that you all from First Baptist are welcome to join in, where God is at work, and we need your help. We need your help bringing crews coming down to be willing to serve in whatever capacity in that regard. And if you can't go, that's okay. We need individuals that can give. And if you're not one that can give, then I encourage you to be a prayer warrior, because we significantly need that. And I'll explain more in a minute. One of the things that Eric and I have done since we've been back, which is this is the first time we've been home really for any significant amount of time. We're pretty much taking an off-field assignment for the summer. So we're here from June through Labor Day. And so we've been able to do a number of activities and also having some quiet time. But there was a sermon that we listened to a couple weeks ago that has just stuck with me. And it was by a pastor and author, Timothy Keller. And he is a pastor in New York. And he had a sermon that really spoke to me. And he started out talking about prayer. And that's an area that I do want to mention to you today. And in this sermon, he talks about that the Western world, which includes us, is a world that is not really fully aware or even cognizant of spiritual warfare. Africa gets it. People in Asia get it. They see remnants of it. And in Latin America and even in Belize, we see it. We've seen it specifically just with the production and just the development of the Gomer House. As you all know, when you're dealing with sexually exploited young women that are being trafficked against their will, that's an area that, you know, organizations all over the world are involved in, and they've poured money into it. We've poured education into it. But we're realizing it is a spiritual issue. And so we need your help. We need your prayer intercession. So we've had teams come down that though they may not be able to sling a hammer, they can at least come and just come on the property and intercede. We have people that have come and just taken big stones that are on the property and written scriptures on it. And we're laying the foundation with God's word. And so warfare is a real deal. And I want to shed that light today to help you understand that it is real and that the enemy is at work. So we've not only seen it with the Gomer House, with just trying to get a groundskeeper in place. We had drama with that. We've had drama just within our volunteers. And we're having drama just trying to get funding. So we know that it is a spiritual battle. And it's going to be till the day that the doors open. But there's not only just warfare in that project. There has been warfare in other areas just all around us. For example, there was a couple that was involved in helping a friend in a deliverance. She needed major prayer intercession and was being broken of significant bondages from past childhood abuses. And so deliverance was done that day, and there was great victory and triumph. But then at the same time, after that victory, those that were involved in that prayer intercession, they were hit significantly in their marriage. And it came out of the blue and it hit them hard to where this couple had to be separated for a little while. And so the wife called out to one of her intercessors and said, "I need your help. I can't even get out of bed." And so this intercessor, thankfully, who's even here in North Carolina, she knew how to send prayer and knew how to send scripture and sent a message to that wife and encouraged her. And then a few days later, she sent another message and said, "You know, I was praying on the day that you had that deliverance. And God gave me this message that said, the battle is on your friend and I need you to intercede." And so on that day, she didn't know what that meant. But until she heard from that friend, she knew what it meant. So she stood in the gap and she prayed. And so it was a very hard and a very dark time for that couple. So the warfare is real. And why we know that is because that couple was Eric and I. And so we say all this to you because we come with just being able to see that the enemy is real. And many of you all know it's real because it's happening right here. It comes as no surprise from the recent declaration of the Supreme Court's decision. The enemy is running wild, and God needs you to know your eyes need to be opened. And he needs you to know that he's running rampantly, and he needs the church to wake up and to be aware of it. He's running rampant with the lust of pornography. He's running rampant with the desire to seek another partner. He's running rampant in our children's lives, stealing precious time on the internet. And he's stealing our time as well with just all of our gadgets, including mine. And so I just say all this because it starts with us, and it has started with Eric and I. And so I just want you to know that he's using an arrow that he has really revealed to us, an arrow that he uses on all of us, and he's used it with the church. And it's an arrow that he keeps using over and over because it works. He doesn't need anything new. And it's an arrow of busyness. So these are just examples of how the enemy's not just in Africa. He's not just in Asia. And he's not just in Belize. He's here. And he's working in your lives. So he wants you to know that it's real and the battle is real. And some of you are fighting it right now and you may not even realize it. Just like I didn't even realize it when Eric and I were separated. And so I don't want you to walk out of here without hope. I want you to know that God's word is powerful. And he can set us all free. And there's things that he wants to do. And he wants to do it in you. And he wants to do it in us. And so during this time of off-field assignment, God has been revealing to us that it is a time of revival. It is a time of renewal. It's a time of refreshment. But we're getting back to the basics of what it's all about. What are we really called to do? What do you want us to do? Do you want us to go back and do the same thing? We need your passion, and we need you to get into our hearts. And so God has put it onto my heart, just like he needs the church today, to get to a place of humility. He needs us to get to a place of sheer repentance. And he needs the church revived. And it can only really happen but through prayer and through personal awareness and transparency. Because we're about to be the Father's business. And he doesn't want us to forsake our first love. Just as you read in this passage a few minutes ago from Isaiah, you saw and heard how Isaiah was called. But before he said, "Here I am," God had to deal with him and his unclean lips. And Isaiah recognized it, and he said, "Woe is me." And that's what all of us need to do. And God is doing that with us. Woe is us. CBF Global Missions and all of its field personnel knows that we need sacrificial givers for all the field personnel around the world. We need it for us personally. We need it for the camp. We need it for the Gomer House. And the list goes on of our needs. But we truly need prayers. But we also know that it also stems out of you all as well. There is a need for intercessors who are serious about being revitalized. God needs his people to be revolutionized. And it starts with us. And we need to put on our armor because it is a battle. We need to get out Ephesians 6. And we need to read it so that we can stand firm and ready, trusting in God's word that he is fighting for us. Because we don't need to walk around as victims. We need to walk around because we already have the victory in Christ. But we know that in order for anything to change on the mission field, it does start with us, the missionaries, even though if you're called in Christ, you too are a missionary. We're not any different. We just have a job out of town. You too are missionaries and are called. But God does want to revitalize your church, and he wants to revitalize this nation, and it starts with each one of us. So if we're going to be revolutionized and to go out and live out our faith and to make a difference, it's got to start within. And it starts with humility. And woe is me. And as the Apostle Paul said, we the church were once in darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Live now as children of light. So we must be that salt, the salt that makes a difference, that's noticeable